spiritual laws. We talked about the five-finger exercise. We talked about the Roman road. We talked about sharing your own personal testimony. Nothing beats that, sharing your testimony about who you were before Christ and who you are now as a result of giving your life to Jesus Christ. The point of last week, what I was trying to emphasize is we, as God's people, and if you've never seen it before, hopefully you see it now in the days that we're living in now, we as God's people need to be prepared. And the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 3 says, always be prepared to give a reason, to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. We need to be prepared. And last week, if I had thought about it, I would have began a series calling it Ambassador Training, and last week would have been 101. The emphasis on being prepared. We need to be prepared. We need to know our craft. We need to understand that Jesus Christ has committed to us this message of reconciliation. Are we taking this job seriously? Last week, Ambassador Training 101, be prepared. This week, as we go into a new part of this here, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and see what that says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. So hold on. See what stands out to you here. Begins here, verse 1, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And verse 3, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. The Living Translation says it like this here. We try to live in such a way that no one will ever be offended or kept back from finding the Lord by the way we act. You know, they might be offended, but hopefully they won't be offended by the way we act. It won't be for that reason. Like you know, maybe if eating pork offends them, don't eat pork. If working on the Sabbath offends them, then don't work on the Sabbath. If drinking a beer offends them, then don't drink a beer. Using certain kinds of words might offend them, so don't use those words. So let's not put any stumbling blocks in our brother's way. Verse 4 says, rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, in sleepless nights, in hunger. Verse 6, in purity, in understanding, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. What are those weapons of righteousness we're talking about? We'll get to that. Through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to my children, open wide your hearts also. And it goes on. It almost is like it changes directions, but I don't think it does. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them and will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now let's take some time and see what stands out, what we need to emphasize. I'm looking at verse 3 and 4. It says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance. So the overall theme here, I saw that word in great endurance, and I wanted to take that and look at the many ways that we need to be people of great endurance here. So Ambassador Training 201 here is all about endurance. And when I think about the word endurance, then what comes to your all's mind? I got a picture on your outline there of a guy in track. You know, what comes to my mind is Iron Man. y'all, you've seen these Ironman competitions before where they have to swim 10 miles and ride a bike 200 miles and run two marathons. And I've thought about doing that, but I'm not a good swimmer or runner, and I don't like to ride a bike. So I watch it on TV, and it's about the same thing. The show that me and my girls have gotten into, have you seen American Ninja? It's so cool. And there was a guy the other day, I think he's like 64 years old, and he's doing this American Ninja thing, and he didn't make it very far. But I was impressed. And why? I mean, you look at the things that these guys are doing, and you think, they're nuts. I mean, this is crazy. And yet we keep watching. I'm wondering, are we watching it? I mean, that's the point of it, is that we see what these people put themselves through, and we are so drawn to that, so amazed by that. And is Paul's message not that we should be like that in our walk with Christ? People should be amazed when they look at a Christian and what the Christian is enduring, what the Christian is willing to put themselves through for the name of Christ, for the glory of Christ. People should see that and be amazed and wowed by that, and hopefully want to be a part of that. So we're going to go today into Ambassador Training 201, which I broke this down into three classes. And the first class is the School of Hard Knocks. Okay, so we're going to talk about the hard knocks here, and you'll see here Paul of all people. I mean, he had his share of hard knocks, right? He had these difficulties I describe here as number one, general affliction. Just basic tough circumstances that we all go through. It says in verse 4, it says, in troubles, in hardships, in distresses. Now you break that down. What does that mean, in troubles, in hardships, in distresses? What is that? And Paul experienced the same hardships that we all experience. Tornadoes and storms and taxes. And what I wrote down, physical illness. Maybe financial stress, maybe problems with his in-laws. If he had in-laws, I don't know what that, things that nobody can avoid. I mean, it just, so we all have problems. You have car problems, he got shipwrecked, same thing. You got stranded on the highway, he got stranded in the middle of the sea for 24 hours, same thing. His was worse than yours, okay? But yet we cry about ours, woe is me, look at Paul! Look at what Paul endured. And why did he go through all this stuff? Because he was trying to share the gospel with people. So we think, because we're Christians, why is the Lord doing this to us? And in a quote that I've seen before, I think Bob Russell said this. He says, for every non-Christian who gets cancer, a Christian gets cancer so the world can see the difference. Yeah, you're gonna have trouble. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we will face hardships. We will face troubles. And let me ask you the question before I move on here. When you experience hard times, when you experience troubles, whatever those troubles may be, what does that do to your relationship with God? Do you run from God? Do you get mad at God? Do you hide in a corner and just say, woe is me? Or do you cry out to God? Do you cling to God? Do you claim the verses, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me? Does it make you stronger or does it make you weak and coward? So Paul, he experienced general affliction. We all will. But not just general afflictions. We go on the next thing here, and I want you to see this malicious affliction, or intentional affliction, or just tough opposition, and beatings, and imprisonments, and riots. Is what it says in verse 5. And you think about what Paul endured to share the gospel with people who did not know the gospel. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. There was riots. And Jesus warns, you will be handed over and be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. Are you ready for that, ambassadors? Ambassadors of Jesus Christ, are you ready for the world to hate you? Paul had his fair share of adversaries. He writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, and in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. You look at the life of Paul, and he was despised in Damascus. He was rejected in Jerusalem. He was forgotten about in Tarsus. According to one of our church fathers, Clement of Rome, and he says Paul was imprisoned no less than 7 times. Why? And the answer is because he wouldn't shut up. He wouldn't stop. He wanted to tell the world about Jesus Christ. So I ask, what about us? What about us? What's it going to take for the world to shut us down? What is it going to take for the world to shut us up so we stop talking about Jesus? Let me read Ezekiel 33 here. As I read this, you need to take ownership of this passage here. If you've never heard it before, if you've never thought about it before, you as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, this is for you here. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1 through 9, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against the land and the people of the land chooses one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees a sword coming against the land and he blows a trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman..." I'm going to take some time and try to explain this here. The son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against your land. You think that might be happening to America right now? Is the Lord bringing the sword against our land right now? And yet he's appointed somebody as a watchman. He says, watchman, you speak up. And if people don't listen to you, their blood is on their own head. But if the watchman doesn't speak up, this is what it says here, if the watchman, this is verse 6, if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, and that man will be taken away because of his sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for the man's blood. Because the watchman didn't speak up. The watchman was appointed a watchman, but he said nothing. So his countrymen died because the watchman did nothing. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are a watchman. It is your God-given task to speak up, to warn the people around you of the wrath of God that's coming if we do not repent. Are you speaking up? Are you speaking up? It says in verse 7, "The son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sins. But I will hold you accountable for his blood." That's what it says. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are watchmen. We have to speak out. We have to speak up. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We need to hear the word of the Lord. We need to warn our fellow men what are going on. Don't shut up. Don't let the world shut you up. You see it throughout the whole Bible here. For every Abel, the devil provides a Cain. And for every Isaac, there's an Ishmael. And for every Jacob, there's an Esau. And for every Daniel, there's a den of lions. And for every John the Baptist, there's a Herod waiting to take his head off. And for you, don't you know, the devil has somebody out there to shut you down, to shut you up. If you're going to speak up, the world will try to shut you up. Ambassadors, you will be hated. You will be opposed. The third affliction I see here is a self-imposed affliction. And we talk about general affliction. You know, the storms come. We see malicious affliction. We see what people do. And now we see a self-imposed affliction, which is just self-discipline. Paul was such a self-disciplined man. He talks here about the hard work, the sleepless nights, the hunger that he endured to share the gospel. And when you think about the hard work, he preached, he studied, he traveled, he wrote most of the New Testament. And when you think about how much he traveled, I tried to look this up, I couldn't find it, but you know, thousands and thousands of miles he traveled to plant all these churches around the Mediterranean Sea. They didn't have cars back then. This was hard work to travel like he traveled. In the sleepless nights. He talks about sleepless nights here. And let me remind you of a story in Acts chapter 20 in Troas, where Paul preached until midnight. And you remember the story of Eutychus? Eutychus was sitting in a windowsill as Paul preached, and what happened to Eutychus? He went to sleep. I'm looking around. He went to sleep as Paul preached. I can't imagine that. So he fell asleep, and he fell out the window, and he died. So what's Paul do? He runs down the stairs. He prays over Eutychus, brings Eutychus back to life, and then he goes back upstairs and he starts preaching again. And you all think you got it bad, okay? I'm just what Paul would do to get the word of God into people's heads. And hungered, it says here, hard work and sleepless nights and hunger could refer to he fasted, he prayed. It may refer to his times in prison and the times he was willing to endure in prison in order to be a faithful ambassador of Jesus Christ. Ambassadors need to be self-disciplined. So that's the school of hard knocks. Now let's go into another classroom here, the class of building blocks here. It says, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance. And we talked about in troubles and hardships and distresses. We talked about the general afflictions. We talk about in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, the intentional affliction. And we talk about hard work and sleepless nights and hunger, the self-imposed affliction. And then he goes on, he says, in purity, in understanding, in patience, in kindness. And he says several other things too, but let's just break it down right here. Where Paul is building upon his character, and he's committed to these things, such things as purity. Verse 6 talks about being enduring in purity. When I think about that word, it means to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, we are to be holy, for our God is holy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, make every effort to be holy. And Paul was intentional about living a holy life. You know why he was intentional about living a holy life? Because he knew that would make a difference in other people's lives. And they too would make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And they too would become holy. And they too would become sincere with love for God and each other. But it had to start with him being intentional about living a holy life, being pure. So he was committed to being pure. He was committed to understanding, is what it says in verse 6. In purity, in understanding. And I'm thinking, you could go a couple ways with this. But I'm thinking, what do we need to understand? If we are going to be ambassadors, what is it that we need to take time to understand? And I came up with two things that I would challenge you to take time and understand. One, if you're going to be a good ambassador of Jesus Christ, then you need to understand, what is his will? What is the will of God? Because you need to be able to communicate that to other people. Maybe your children, maybe your neighbors, maybe your friends, maybe your coworkers. You need to be able to communicate the will of God to other people. So you need to take time to understand the will of God, which is why we have church, which is why we have Sunday school, why we have small groups, why you should have your own personal time studying the Word of God. Because you need to understand the will of God. And another thing I would challenge you to understand, it talks about this in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, the men of Issachar, who understood the times and they knew what to do. I'm thinking, you and I, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we need to understand the times that we're living in. When you see all these things going around, I mean, we're just having a bad week. Is that what this is? Just a bad week? Or is there something more going on and we need to put the pieces together? This is the will of God. This is what's going on in our nation. I mean, as Christians, as ambassadors, we need to take time and digest what this is and try to put some pieces together so that we can make a difference, so we know how to address what's going on. Another thing he talks about is patience. Another word for patience, long-suffering, being patient with others. Are you good at patience? This is a challenge here. William Barclay, he writes, the ability to bear with people even when they are misguided and wrong, even when they are cruel and insulting. We need to be patient with others. I like how Mel Trotter, he says this. This is not a good thing to say, but he said it, and I'm going to quote it just because I can. Okay, but he says, there are a lot of wonderful Christians going to heaven someday. And oh, how I wish some of them would hurry up and go. Are we patient? And you think about the patience Paul had to have to be jailed, to address these mobs that were rioting because of what he was saying, to be shipwrecked. Lord, what are you doing? I'm trying to work for you. I mean, why aren't you making this easier for me? And God didn't make it easy for him. Can you imagine the patience that he had to have? Another word talks about kindness. So we need to endure in purity and understanding and patience and kindness, being thoughtful, being courteous. Goes on here, it was his number five, in the Holy Spirit. And when I read this, this is a time, you guys, don't read over these words too quickly. You look at that, what's it mean to endure in the Holy Spirit, to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, sensitive to what the Spirit is telling you, sensitive to what the Spirit is teaching you. I feel like I say this a lot, but I look around at Christians in our world today, and we all want to believe in Jesus Christ, but nobody's listening to the Holy Spirit. Nobody's being led by the Holy Spirit. There's a huge disconnect in the world of Christianity when you look at Jesus and you look at the Holy Spirit, and everybody wants Jesus, but nobody wants the Holy Spirit. What's up with that? What's wrong with that? Number six, in sincere love, which is hard to sincerely love people who are hurting you, who are rejecting you. It says in Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. It says in Galatians 5, verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Galatians 6, 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Peter 4, 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. C.S. Lewis, he writes, do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor, but act as if you do. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them. Just love them. And as you love them, you will find that you do love them. Got a few more building blocks that we got to talk about here. In truthfulness of speech. Proverbs 10, verse 21 says, the lips of the righteous nourish many. Proverbs 12, verse 18, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Ephesians 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. We need to speak the truth. The world needs to hear the truth. And now do it in love, but speak the truth. Number eight, in the power of God. So let me put all this together here. As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, in sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God. And it goes on. You got to stop and think about this. Stop and think about this here. Don't be like Eutychus and go to sleep on me now, okay? But right here in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 7, and so it goes on here, it says, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand in the left. What are these weapons of righteousness we're talking about? We're talking about kindness. We're talking about love. We're talking about truth. We're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. That is the weapons that we have been given. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I really want a bazooka, okay? But no, I mean, these are the weapons that he has given us. And with these weapons and with God on our side, we can conquer the enemies that are coming at us. If we do it God's way, if we listen to God, it says the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left, through glory and dishonor and bad report and good report and genuine and yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet we're not killed, sorrowful, yet we are always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We are marching on. The truth is marching on. Paul was a warrior. You look at it. Paul was a warrior marching in the power of God, led by the Spirit of God, ready for spiritual warfare, tearing down strongholds of evil with the power of holiness, with the power of love, with the power of patience, with the power of kindness, as God was working through him, as he was listening and surrendering his life to God, and God worked through him, they were demolishing strongholds. Paul was fully engaged in life. Paul radically changed the world as he gave himself fully to God. Let me take you through one more class today here, the class of stumbling blocks. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. So we talked about hard knocks. Get used to it. I mean, it comes with the job. We talked about building blocks and why these building blocks are so important for us to be able to do our job effectively, for us to truly represent Christ, for us to really be salt and light. But now let's talk about stumbling blocks. Have you put any stumbling blocks in the way of somebody who does not know Jesus Christ? We got to recognize this. We got to address this. Because, I mean, it's one thing, okay, you did it, whoops, you messed up. But here's my fear is that and then you did it again, and then you did it again, and then you did it again, and you really don't care. You know, it's their problem. It's not your problem. No, it's your problem because you're supposed to be a watchman who's helping these people from going to hell. But if you don't care enough to stop, to recognize what are we doing that's causing our brothers to stumble, We got to take time. We got to address this here. So you go back to verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, it says this. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. And I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And what I get from that verse, when I look at that word now, you know, I would tell you, if you like to write in your Bible, that's a word, circle it, highlight it, underline it, now is the time of God's salvation. And what I see here, Paul was committed to being urgent. He had a sense of urgency. And you and I, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we need to have a sense of urgency. And I would tell you this. This is how I'm going to put it. Here's a stumbling block. A stumbling block to the world is when they see us, who call ourselves Christians, and we lack a sense of urgency. Because that communicates to the world that our message isn't really that important. You know, take it or leave it, we really don't care. Is that really our attitude? We don't care if they listen or not? It's a stumbling block to not be urgent when we see people dying without Christ. No one is promised tomorrow. Now is the time to respond. I'm going to go off my. I wrote some little notes here. When you think about when I say now is the time to respond, and I'm thinking about the events that have been unfolding around us. When I think about the five police officers who were shot in Dallas, and when I think about what happened in France this week, and I think I heard 86 people died. And then are you aware of what's going on in Turkey? There was a coup in Turkey. So I had to do some research there. What's going on in Turkey? Because I go back to Ezekiel chapter 36. You and I are supposed to be watchmen. We are supposed to warn our fellow men what's going on. We need to understand the time. So I look at these events that are going on, and what's going on in Turkey, and what's going on in France, and Charlie Rhodes on Good Morning America. He was addressing all this stuff the other day. He said that the candidate, you know, Hillary Clinton, wants to address, she thinks we need better intelligence. That's the answer. And then to give everybody fair time, Donald Trump, Charlie Rhodes says, and Donald Trump thinks we need immigration reform. And then I heard Charlie Rhodes say it wasn't him, it was the person he's interviewing. He's saying, that person said, these are not the answers. I think it was Charlie Rhodes who says, this is an ideology. We have to address the ideology of what's going on here. More intelligence is not going to fix this. Immigration reform is not going to fix this. It's the ideology that has to be addressed. What is wrong with this ideology? If I'm not losing you here, the ideology, there's, you know, if you make Allah your God and kill people and think that's normal, or you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and stop killing people, we need people to understand Jesus brings a message of hope. Jesus brings a message of love. Jesus is the answer. And the world is rejecting our message. So we got to come up with better ways to say it. But it is about an ideology. We must address that ideology. We must be prepared. We must be able to tell people why it is essential that they make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And if not now, I'm thinking next week's going to be too late. There is a sense of urgency to our message. Enough of that one. Let me read verses 11 and 13. It says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Paul opened his hearts to minister to the Corinthians. You and I, as ambassadors, we must open our hearts to the people around us who don't know Jesus Christ. We need to open our hearts to each other, to our community, to those who are not like us. The Bible says, love your enemies, pray for them. I mean, are we doing that? It's hard. I know it's hard. But this is what the Word of God tells us to do. We need to love our enemies. We need to love those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I would ask you how, and I would take you back to what I said last week. What Ken Ham did, he built an ark for $100 million. And why did he do this? Because he wanted to reach the world with the message of Jesus Christ. $100 million, so he could reach the world with Jesus Christ. So us as being ambassadors, is it expensive to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ? It could be. It could cost a lot of money. Are we willing to pay the price? Is it hard work to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ? Yes, it's hard work. Are we willing to discipline ourselves? To know the word of the Lord, to speak the word of the Lord, to live the word of the Lord? Are we willing to do this? Do we want to make a difference? So here's a stumbling block I'll give you here. Stumbling block number two. It's a stumbling block to be apathetic towards the lost. A lack of compassion. It puts up walls between Christians and non-Christians. If we're not communicating we love them, if they don't know that we love them, they're really not going to care about what we have to tell them. They don't care. I'll give you one more stumbling block here. Before I give you the stumbling block, let me give you the scripture here. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 18. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And this is New Testament, you know. This is, what do you do with that? That's New Testament. Ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We must be holy. We need to understand what holiness is, and we need to be committed to being holy. Because when we don't, we will be worldly, and we will not be salty, and we will be hiding the light that is supposed to be within us. So the stumbling block here, stumbling block number three, is a lack of holiness. Lack of holiness communicates there is no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. How will the world see the difference if there is no difference? They hate and we hate. What's Jesus Christ have to offer them? No. You know, they hate, we love. Whatever they do that is evil, that's wicked, that is not of God, we do that which is God, what God is calling us to do. So ambassadors, here I'm asking you guys, as ambassadors, are you prepared? Let's go back to last week. Are you prepared? Do you know your craft? Can you give an explanation for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus? Are you taking seriously your commitment to Jesus Christ to be messengers of reconciliation? So just take some time right there and examine that part of the message. That's last week. And if you are, then let's talk about today. Today, what have you learned in the school of hard knocks? Has life thrown you some tough circumstances? Have people treated you unkind because you are a Christian? Are you self-disciplined to be all that you can be for Jesus Christ? And what kind of building blocks are you building upon? How's your faith? Are you stronger now than what you were a year ago, than what you were 5 years ago? Are you stronger in your faith now? What about your love for others? What about in the area of holiness? The fruit of the Spirit, is the fruit of the Spirit growing inside of you? Are you a warrior ready for battle? Are you wise enough to listen to God and to fight the battle His way, leaning on His strength and His power? And then one last area, what about stumbling blocks? What stumbling blocks do you need to deal with so that you are not the reason that someone is refusing to come to Jesus Christ?
Lead me to you.